You're listening to the Nightlife Podcast with Indira Naidu.
The Hungry Ghost Festival is an Asian tradition in which the ghosts of ancestors are released from hell. As these ghosts roam the streets, local communities appease them with offerings of food and drink and by burning incense and fake money. Now, this ancient and spooky festival is the backdrop to the new SBS TV thriller Hungry Ghosts. It's a miniseries which explores four Melbourne families haunted by the ghosts of the Vietnam War. The show has an extraordinarily diverse cast, featuring more than 30 Asian Australian actors and 325 Asian Australian extras. Now, this sort of diversity on our screens is unheard of. Just this week, a report came out which found an overwhelming majority of news and current affairs on-screen talent in this country is Anglo-Celtic. Well, the star of Hungry Ghost is Catherine Van Davies, an up-and-coming Sydney-based actor. She starred in the TV series The Letdown and The Fighting Season and has appeared in a number of plays, most recently in the Sydney theatre production of No Pay, No Way. And Catherine joins Nightlife now. Hello, Catherine.
Hello. So lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's great that you can join us, take some time out from filming. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what your new show, Hungry Ghost, is about?
So Hungry Ghosts, you explained the festival quite beautifully. Within Asian culture and a lot of ethnic cultures, there's the idea of ghosts and people, reverence towards the dead is very present every day of the year, but certainly within this festival. And the series itself looks at these four families. My character, May, leads the audience through the four episodes and briefly intersects with each of those storylines. But it's a portrait of a community dealing with grief and trauma and loss, and how those things, when they remain unresolved for one reason or another, will either come back to the person themselves or, of course, be passed down, as we know, through intergenerational trauma. And it's, I know that sounds very heavy as the content is, but it's brought through this amazing kind of supernatural lens. There's a lot of humour and pathos and a few jumps in there as well.
Sounds terrific. Well, let's have a bit of a listen to some of your role in Hungry Ghost.
Jesus, Stella!
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You scared me half to death.
You're the one with a knife.
Did you go through her things?
I didn't do that.
How'd you get in?
Ma gave me a key. I flew down as soon as I got your message.
I'm sorry about Bun Lai. Thanks for coming.
Why wouldn't I? After all is said and done, she was my mother.
Really?
Be prepared to dress for any occasion, darling.
You gonna go to the hospital to see Bun Lai?
I guess. Yes, of course.
I gotta drop by work for a bit.
Work?
As bad as it is, I can't afford to lose my job right now.
That's a little bit of a scene with Catherine Van Davies, my guest on Nightlife tonight, from her role in the SBS series Hungry Ghost. Now, Catherine, you're a second-generation Vietnamese. Is the Hungry Ghost Festival celebrated in Australia?
It's very much part of the Buddhist tradition, and my family growing up Catholic, so it wasn't so much a part of my experience, but it certainly is very much a part of, many of the other cast members definitely have been involved with it. And amazingly, throughout all Southeast Asia, there's many, many different cultures that celebrate it. So it is something that brings a lot of these different cultures together, which is exciting.
And as you said, because you grew up in a Catholic family, you weren't really exposed to these traditions as such. But do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the festival I wasn't so exposed to, but, you know, in most Vietnamese households, you'll still find, you know, year around photographs of your immediate family and loved ones passed, as well as incense and food offerings. So that kind of celebration of the dead is ever present, which I think is a really beautiful tradition. I think it's really important that we recognize who we are through where we've come from, and how that, you know, I believe a lot in the presence of my ancestors by the very means of them being inside my DNA. So the Hungry Ghost Festival itself wasn't a part of my immediate upbringing, but, you know, a lot of Vietnamese families, regardless of their religious practice, will have photographs of loved ones, an immediate family that have passed away, with incense and food offerings. And so that kind of treating the dead as if they're ever present with us has been very much a part of my life. And, you know, in terms of, I'm pretty much an atheist, but I definitely recognize the existence of my ancestors, particularly, you know, within my own DNA, my biology. And I know the experience of inherited trauma, and I know what that is like to live with. So I very much believe they exist with us in various capacities.
Well, when you say you believe in inherited trauma, your mother was a refugee from the Vietnam War who moved to Canberra. So what aspects of the script have resonated with you and your family story, Kat?
Yeah, so my mum, like, you know, many of the Vietnamese that fled Vietnam, left by boat, and her boat crashed in Malaysia, where they were in a refugee camp there. And then were brought over through sponsorship into Australia, because at the time there was a sponsorship program. You know, and for me, what I love about Hungry Ghosts is it portrays a portrait of many different people's experience. You have the people who came over by boat, but then you also have the kids who, you know, we're born in Australia, and we have this kind of fractured understanding of our parents' experience. And it's almost like a lifelong process of trying to work out our story, who we are through who our parents are. And that's where Melee and my story intersect. I mean, in the story, May is completely disconnected from her mum, her dad, is very close with her grandmother. And I think that is such a beautiful relationship, because they are so close and care about each other so much, and yet there is this language and cultural divide between them that keeps them from fully understanding each other. And that is very much the experience of second generation immigrants.
So do you find, Kat, that you understand a little more about what your mother went through and your parents from doing this series?
I think that it provided a really excellent vehicle for context around conversations, because the war is incredibly difficult to talk about. As a child of a parent who is, you know, has a lot of trauma in their life, you can feel really conflicted about bringing up these stories of the past, because obviously your parent has often been trying so hard to suppress it. And my mum didn't talk to me about the war until my 30s, and we were in Vietnam, and it was a similar thing where that provided the context to share those stories. I think it was a big discovery for her to realize that she wasn't burdening us with her trauma, with her story, and that actually it's quite a cathartic and lifting experience for both of us, for her and for myself and my siblings. And I'm glad that I embarked on that journey, you know, years before doing this series, because I think it would have been incredibly hard to just be entering that conversation now and looking at it through a work lens. It's way too personal. So I feel, you know, I'm ahead of my journey to where my character May is, which allows me to treat that story with a bit more care and compassion, because it's not my immediate situation.
What was it like for you, Kat, being on a set with so many Asian Australian actors and extras involved?
It's thrilling. It is such a rare opportunity. I mean, it's certainly the only opportunity I've had in my career to be amongst so many brilliant actors that go so unrecognized. And I think that's the huge thing, is of course it means a lot to be surrounded by people who share a certain experience of the world that is similar to yours. That means a lot. It means you have this shorthand that you have experienced the industry in similar ways. And, you know, we all have very varied life experiences, but there is a commonality of being Asian Australian. And then knowing, because I've known a lot of these actors prior to the series, and knowing how incredible they are, to have them center stage, I think is long, long, long overdue.
And what did you think of that report that came out, the Media Diversity Australia report, who gets to tell Australian stories? I guess you weren't surprised that it found only 6% of people on air, news and current affairs, were Indigenous or non-European.
Yeah, it is no surprise. It's continually disappointing, but it is definitely no surprise. And I think we can't underestimate the impact on what it does for people to see their likeness or someone that they can relate to represented. It does a lot for us as a community. It builds our empathy in the way that we, you know, when I see a story about someone who looks nothing like me and a different life experience, being an Asian Australian woman, you know, growing up in Australia, I've learnt that skill of translation. I've learnt to see myself in that story that's very different to mine. And there are only benefits in that. There's only benefits in being able to do that. And I think we have a problem of both underrepresentation and overrepresentation. And I think it's not wanting people to lose jobs, of course, you know, recognizing that people are talented and deserve to be there. But my life would have been very different if I'd seen someone who looked like me. And that's part of the big reason why I chose to be an actor, because I want the younger version of myself. I want young Vietnamese women or young mixed race women to go, I deserve to be seen and I have a place in this country, in this world.
We've been talking about greater diversity on Australian TV, in the media, in film for a number of years now, certainly for the, you know, large part of my career. And I wonder if I can ask you, what do you think has been the block? Why have we not seen that systemic change?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think people will want to make a lot of excuses, usually money, people being risk adverse, feeling like faces that aren't what they perceive as the norm won't sell, which has been time and time again proven to be untrue. I think we've fallen into this trap of deciding what the normal Australian looks like, or the neutral Australian, I should say, and that's white skin and usually fair features. But you know, we just need to look around and realise that that's not true. But I think it's been really great that these studies have come out to show how many people in you know, high positions are underrepresented or overrepresented, because you can put actors of colour or you can put people on screen who represent a greater diversity. It has to happen on all levels, otherwise it becomes a superficial exercise. And if it's those that we see are the only people representing that a diverse perspective, we don't fundamentally change the narrative.
And so given what you've just said, how has your experience been then, Kath, trying to build a career and a profile for yourself in the film and TV and theatre world?
Yeah, look, it's been tough. That's the honest and short answer. I've had a wonderful career. I'm really proud of my body of work. Thankfully, I work really consistently in theatre, and I've had the opportunities to perform internationally and nationally around Australia. But this is my first major role in Australian television in my 15-year career. And, you know, it's through no lack of trying. But there are lots of conversations within our industry. There are lots of reasons that people don't get cast for roles, but you're certainly aware of what you do and don't get seen for. It's changing. I don't want to be totally negative on it for anyone that's listening that is kind of considering a career in the arts and is in a similar situation to mine. This information is really to equip people in how to navigate the industry. But, you know, we've been working on this for a really long time. There are amazing pioneers. We've seen change. Within the last year, there's been a lot of change. So we're on the right path, but we certainly have to keep persevering.
And so in those tough times when you weren't getting the jobs you wanted, when those roles weren't coming forward. What persisted with you? How did you persevere and hang in there?
It's a tough one to answer. I didn't have work for the first few years out. I went into many castings and had feedback from my agent at the time that my look was too exotic, that, you know, people loved me, but I was too exotic for the role. And then I went to New York and I trained there for a year, and that really changed my perspective on things. First of all, I was treated like I belonged there and as an equal, and that my ethnicity was to be celebrated and treated as an obstacle. Mm. And I felt like I actually had the opportunity by working with some really incredible, you know, top level actors to hone my craft and to come back to Australia with a whole different set of confidence. And it was from there, I think it was partially, you know, the right time and also how I'd shifted within my own person, that I started to go into consistent theatre work. Theatre still has a way to go with representation, but it is further ahead in the conversation. And through that, I've had the chance to play incredible roles, you know, like Harper in Angels in America. I couldn't have dreamed that I would play her 10 years ago. And, you know, had the fortune of playing her in Sydney. And, yeah, it's those kind of things. It's theatre has kept me going, and I will always, I love it very much as an art form, but of course you want to be able to work in different mediums, and screen travels, it's, you get to tell your stories to a larger audience and internationally, and I think that's something all actors want access to.
And you've also, as you mentioned, played powerful women. Is it also a challenge finding meaty roles for women?
Yeah, it is. I've done Shakespeare's and I've done many classics, and often when you have a new lens on them, they need a lot of reworking to find their agency within the story. So unsurprisingly, I've predominantly worked on new Australian work where the characters are being written for the first time. So I've been very fortunate in working with new Australian work that I work with these incredible playwrights who are writing stories for now, stories that we want to see, creating amazing narratives and amazing characters, and putting women with the agency that they deserve to have at this time in our lives, and what we hope for the future as well. It's kind of like aspirational writing.
And is there a role that you would love to do?
I feel like my dream character is still yet to be written, and I have great faith in Australian writers. I think we have some of the best, and we just need to give them more support and more airtime, and those characters will come through.
Terrific. Kat, thank you so much for chatting to Nightlife. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Catherine Van Davies, who's an actress who's starring in Hungry Ghosts, a new thriller miniseries on SBS, and episodes can also be available on SBS On Demand.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.